Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about how to have vacation sex at home, especially if upcoming travel had to be delayed. We still deserve those breaks. Plus, I'm answering your sex and relationship questions. Topics include ways to turn your home and bedroom into a quaint little vacation spot, including ideas to keep your kids preoccupied. So you and your partner used to have sex all the time, and then quarantine happened, and then it changed. Well, what's the deal? What to do when FaceTime isn't really your thing, but you still want to try and date from home. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You guys, our website's chock full of things to help you have better sex and relationships. Tons of blogs and posts and sex toy information. And we're here for you during this strange time to help you through it, help you connect better, you know, love yourself, love your partner. Find me on all social media. It is Sex with Emily across the board. Intentions with Emily. Okay, for each show, please join me in setting an intention. It means like when you're listening, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? It could be, oh, Emily, I love my kids, but being around them all the time is definitely putting a damper on my sex life. Help. My intention for the show, give you some creative ideas. and give you workarounds. You know, hey, if you had a canceled trip, your spring break plans, you got kids at home, I want you to keep your intimacy alive and well. All right, guys, enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emily Morse. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm here for you to help you have the sex and relationships you deserve. And I hope everyone's staying safe. And I want you all, especially in this time, to have the space and time to feel free to talk about sex without shame, without judgment. And even though I can't take your calls right now, I can still talk to you on Instagram and email me feedback@sexwithemily.com so I can answer all of your questions. So, okay, I want to talk about vacation sex because I know a lot of you first were planning going away on spring break. Maybe you had a trip planned and it's not happening. That's probably canceled. But sex is not canceled. Now, also, vacation sex is amazing. We all love vacation sex. But I think just because you can't actually leave your home and go on the trip, we can still have some vacation sex at home. And it can definitely help you get back into the groove with your partner and help you out here. Because yeah, okay, vacation sex can be awesome. But right now, I get it, you guys. A lot of you are at home. The kids are there all the time. I know you guys, it's not easy. I'm hearing from everybody. I get it. I don't have kids. I know you love your kids, but it definitely can get in the way of your sex life right now. Especially when there doesn't seem to be a break. There's no break in sight. You're like, when am I going to have sex, Emily, when we are doing the dishes all the time? You're living in the kitchen. We haven't left the kitchen. We're making 3 meals a day and then helping them with their homework. I get that. And whether you have kids or not, these tips are all going to be helpful because we need to do a little sprucing up around our sex life, especially if we're having sex in the same room, in the same place. So let me give you tips, you guys. Here's some vacation sex at home. And I get you can't get a babysitter right now or send them off to leave and do an activity, but here's how you can get creative. So first, here's some things you could do to at least get your kids preoccupied. Just a little preoccupied. Arts and crafts. Like, give them some crafts to do. I think we can all still order crafts. There's some great tutorials on YouTube. Have them do a project together. Find a game, you know, that maybe involves a set time so you know how long they'll be focused. They'll be focused on the project. Now listen, if you have older children, let them know you're having alone time. Your parents or mommy, daddy, your boyfriend, girlfriend, you need time. You need time alone to bond. And I actually don't think this is a bad thing for your kids to see that you are prioritizing your time. Then you lock the door. Now, yes, they can bother you if it's urgent and make sure they have a snack and things that qualify as emergencies. They know when they can bother you. But take that time, prioritize it. And again, I know every day is changing here, but this is something that's going to help you. And I'm not saying you have to do it every day, but this could be a game changer. Let them watch a movie. Maybe it could be one of their favorites. Maybe it's a treat, something they've been wanting to watch, but you've been holding back. This is the time for them to watch it. Now, if you have a yard, you can build them a picnic, a tea party, you know, things they could do while you're in the house. So that's what you do with the kids. Now, how do you find time? How do you find time right now to get intimate? Now, really, it comes down to prioritization. How do you prioritize your intimate time right now? You could wake up a little earlier. I mean, set the alarm 20 minutes before your normal wake-up time. If you do that, then you know, like, this is our time. Maybe you've never had morning sex. Maybe before, when you were both rushing off about your day, you actually didn't have time for morning sex. So this is a perfect time. And if you've never tried it, there you go. There's the novelty and the excitement that you might be craving in a relationship. You can also take a shower together, kind of like you're on vacation, right? I feel like I'm on vacation. I'm always like taking showers together and we're doing stuff like that more so than we are at home. And you're also less likely to get interrupted in the bathroom. You can bring a lot of toys and lubes into the shower. And we also have some great tips about shower sex, but really know that you definitely need lube and you definitely need to make sure that you are holding on to something sturdy. Well, here's some things also, you guys, about vacation sex. If you are, let's say you're with your partner, but there's really been no time to masturbate. This is like a side note. For some self-loving, it's okay to give each other time to be alone without each other. Like to say, like, I need the bedroom. I need some self-pleasure. You can even take masturbation shifts. You can, someone's with the kids or the other one steals away. I get it's not only ideal, but we all need our time. So I think, again, great time to have conversations with your partner about the fact that you do masturbate, that it's part of being sexually healthy, that you actually need that release. Because the more we can try to get a sense of normalcy, and if your routine was always masturbating when your partner went down to feed the kids or went to work and now you can't, you've got to keep that going. And definitely when you're on vacation, we all know, I think there's a little bit more masturbation. Now, here's something crucial. Make your bedroom feel sexier. This is a big one. I don't know about you guys, but my house, even though I'm not even home, I've rented a house. It's messy. It is a messy place. And I think that we are all kind of trying to figure out how do we clean, cook, do make meals, deal with the children and have sex and all the thin work if you're still working. So create a space that makes you feel sensual, that makes it puts you in the mood. Put the laundry away. Put everything away, everything that reminds you of work. If you can remember that your goal is to have the bedroom for sleeping and sex, that's just a great way to remember, like, oh, do I need this, you know, bill in this room? I always have like stacks of papers in my room, you know. Do I need to have the laundry? Can I just put it outside the room? Sometimes I just move my laundry into the hallway. I'm like, I don't want it to be in my room. Definitely have candles that you like. This is the time to light our candles that we've been saving for rainy days. Candles are so calming, you guys, and there's been so much great information lately, some great studies around how scent can really enhance our sense of well-being. And so lighting candles, having a delicious scent that makes you feel good, can kind of get you more in the mood. I've been lighting incense every day. I've been having music. I've been trying to really up my senses, sensory receptors. You can also get some soft, silky sheets, have your toys ready to go, charged, and definitely have some lube nearby. But you guys know that. You should always have some lube nearby. So first, this is a great time for you get to think about role playing. Maybe you have a date night with your partner. You make a fake dinner menu. You can treat your kitchen like a restaurant. You can get dressed up, make it fancy. It's kind of novel to put some makeup on these days and get dressed up. Now that could be really odd for you. You're like, I'm not leaving the house, but it does feel good to dress up for a change. You could do the sexy stranger thing. We have the time now, but also you could pretend that you're in a hotel room, like you're on vacation. You could have a fake hotel card for your bedroom and just like hang it on the door. You could have champagne glasses outside a tray in your room. Fold the bedding like you'd see in a hotel. You'd be surprised how easy it actually is to feel like you're not in your actual home. Spring on those new sheets. Buy some new towels. Play with it a bit. Listen, our mind is really powerful, and we all know the power of imagination and visualization. You know, I was just reading about a study yesterday where there were two groups of people that were visualizing actually being in a tennis match, and then there was another group of athletes who were not in the match, but they were playing the match, and they fared just as well when they actually played because it was the visualization component of it. So we have to kind of get better now at visualizing things that are happening in our world, and to get suspending disbelief and saying and suspending what you know and say, you know what, we're on vacation, because I know many of you had to cancel your trips right now. Wear a bathing suit, put on your spring break attire, you know, like you could pretend that you're not in your home. Now, listen, if you want to go back to the role play thing, be the maid in the hotel room. Like, who cleans up? Maybe you're the French maid. One of you is the guest. Who's ever been dirtiest? You could be room service person who by mistake walks in the room. And maybe there's someone you want to get it on with. Sexy stranger, again, I talked about that. And if you don't know what I mean by role playing, it's really like sexy stranger is easier. Like, okay, I'm going to show up as someone, an alter ego. Maybe it's the person that you used, I don't know, like you've always wanted to play an instrument. And you're like, I'm going to be the musician part of myself. Or maybe it's just someone that you felt that you were when you met. Or maybe you just show up and you don't know who it's going to be, but you're like, let's pretend it's our first date. Just having a plan like that, no matter how awkward you might think it is, you're like, Emily, I know it's my partner. We've been together forever. So what? As soon as you can get past the weirdness and the giggling and all that stuff that might make you feel awkward, you're going to see that you transcend that very quickly on. And then it's a new game. It's exciting. It's something different. And that's what I'm getting at. The reason why we all love vacation sex and why we crave vacation sex is because it's different. It's novel. We're outside of our bedroom. We're not worried about all the things with work and life. And right now I'm afraid that for many of us, the boundaries are getting crossed. We're like, if there's a comp, there's like a blurred line between home and work and family and kids. And so if you get that into your mindset, like how can I actually successfully feel like I'm on vacation right now? That could really help you. Because novelty, doing something new and exciting, that's what happens when things become rote in our relationships and we get bored. It's because we're missing the newness, the excitement, and trying something new. So just the act of role playing, doing one of these things, could be a fun new way to connect with your partner. All right, if you want to get your kids in on it, here's just another idea. Try to come up with creative things for you. Your kids, you know, should know how important alone time is for you. And maybe you've been demonstrating that importance, and maybe you need it now more than ever. Like, mommy and daddy have an hour every night. but you can help them. They could kind of, you can plug them into this experience right now and say, hey, I want you to help me make this feel like a vacation. So maybe they pretend that they're seating you at a picnic or a dinner and they're the waiters and they bring you some food and they serve you. Now that might not be the sexiest thing for you, but they like getting in on games and playing. So really, you know, and then you guys, they sit down for a movie and you go to your bedroom. It's all about being creative, creating an experience to make it, you make you feel like you're getting the most out of staying home. Cause I think that's where we're all at right now. I think we all know that we're going to be home for a while, and the more honest and authentic and real we can be with our partners, with our loved ones, with our children, the more we're going to be able to find these workarounds so we can actually make sex great again. And don't forget about having the conversations that I always recommend about, you know, communication and how do we actually talk about our sex life, and you have time to work on it together now. It's not about one person pulling the weight and one of you just making all these decisions. And, you know, so maybe listen to this with your partner. Listen to this. Get all these on the SiriusXM app. Figure out ways that you can keep it hot and exciting right now. Get some toys. We got a lot of great products you can order wherever you get sex toys. All right, guys, I'm here to help. You're awesome. Stay strong, stay safe, stay healthy. I miss talking to you, but I will be back. But right now, you can always send all your questions to feedback@sexwithemily.com. Check out our socials, our lives that we're doing on Instagram and Facebook. It is Sex with Emily everywhere. And so our podcast, Sex with Emily, across the board. And thank you to my amazing team for all your hard work right now, getting everything together, making sure that we are still here for you to help you during this unprecedented time. So I love you all. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into your email questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Hey, I'm Dr. Emily Morse. You're listening to Sex with Emily, and I'm here for you to answer your questions about sex and relationships. We really need to be able to talk about it now more than ever without the shame, without the judgment. And even though I can't take your calls right now, I can still talk to you on Instagram and on email. Email is feedback@sexwithemily.com to send your questions, and you can find me on all social media, Sex with Emily. Okay, so here's some of your emails now that have come in. Okay, this is from Bill, 46, in the USA. Hi, Dr. Emily. My girlfriend and I have an amazing sex life. She's 10 years younger, loves sex, and loves to explore with me. There's really no limits, and we try nearly anything. We have sex almost every day, and many times more than once a day. It seems we're having quite the opposite effect under quarantine. She still wants to have sex, as do I, but we're having less because quarantine life is getting to us. She's being more sensitive and dramatic than usual, and I'm probably a little more irritated by it than normal as well. I have an essential position, so still work outside of the home most days while she's trapped inside working. My question is twofold. How do we get past this and get back on our daily routine, and should we? Based on me having to be outside the home, have sex daily. I'm being cautious, but obviously this can come from anywhere. Tips? All right, Bill, thanks for this question. And I think this brings up a lot of what we're all going through. So it makes sense. And I want to remind everyone that we are not only in a state of universal transition, like on every level, but certainly in our relationships and how we're dealing with this. And that can change moment to moment. Meaning like we, you know, sometimes there's transitions happening because one person starts working more than the other one, or we're going through a hard time at work, but now we're all in transitions. And when we're in a crisis situation, they can change moment to moment, day to day. So just be aware of that. But let me address these one by one for you. So first, you're working outside the home, and it sounds like you are taking necessary precautions. I'm sure you're washing your hands, taking a shower as soon as you get home, washing those clothes immediately. So I think it should be okay for you to get back to the business of your bedroom business. So, you know, you're living with her. She's safe. It's been over 2 weeks for most people. So I feel like, you know, you're pretty safe in those regards. So what number two is, like, what has been becoming really clear to me, again, is during this pandemic, is that everybody's sort of resorting to their base level coping mechanism. So you said that your girlfriend is sometimes, you know, sensitive and dramatic when dealing with conflict. So it makes sense that that would be more heightened now. And just same goes for you being more irritated right now. You know, I have found by talking to, you know, friends, colleagues, myself, I'm sort of resorting to my base level, you know, of things that I do when I'm stressed out. So I isolate, I get really overwhelmed. I'm less focused. You know, for a lot of people, if they get angry, they're more angry. If they get, you know, they tend to binge on food or TV, they're doing that. So just everyone, we got to go easy on ourselves and take a lot of deep breaths. As far as getting back to the daily routine, this is also trickier to answer because I'm of the mindset that there's no going back, which is a hard pill to swallow because I think that the new normal every day is changing and I don't think we're ever going to go back. So I tend to look at that as a time for great opportunity, actually, a time to recreate, rebirth, and renew. So you both get to decide, like, well, what would be an excellent routine that works now? So just because we never get back to a daily routine, we get to create one right now. We have the opportunity to create one that works where you're at now and could likely work in the future. So if you're working, if you're out working and she's home all day, she probably needs you to help her transition out after a long day at home. I know from someone who used to work at home all the time, and I'm starting to work at home again, to realize that there's a lot of things that I need to make that work successfully. That is getting outside, getting fresh air, and transitioning from work mode to non-working mode. So maybe when you get home from work, she needs to tap out and say, you know, I need to go for a walk without you. You know, she needs to kind of make that transition. For me, what I would do before this time when I'd come home from work at Sirius, for example, I'd get on my couch and I'd meditate for 10 minutes to kind of transition from my day to my home life. So for her, she's got to figure out what that is. Maybe she needs some time with you. Maybe she needs you to check in with her and, you know, after you take your shower and you guys have 10 minutes of check-in where you are talking about her day, talking about your day. Maybe you're engaging in a new activity together. You know, I always see that couples who play together stay together. And whenever you try a new routine with a partner, that also spikes our adrenaline. So that could be like a game, an online workout, cooking together, finding activities that would help you guys connect at the end of a day. Finally, you do get to create from a new place now. So having talks about what gets you both feeling in the mood for sex, you know, where can you have sex in the house now that's different? What would you like to try together? And the time of day might change right now. Maybe you do it in the morning before you leave for work. Maybe you're doing it on the weekends. Maybe it's every other day. Maybe this is the time to actually plan for sex so you know when it's happening. If you guys are more irritated and, you know, more drama right now, just kind of talking about it and having a space. Maybe it's Wednesday nights. on Wednesday nights, we get together and we're going to have a check-in where we're talking for 15 minutes about the state of our mental health and our sex life, because everything is changing now day by day, week by week. But just both of you acknowledging that you'd like to figure out a new normal when it comes to your sex life and your routine will be immensely helpful to you right now and to everyone. Thanks for your question, Bill. All right, this is from Maria, 53, in Illinois. Dear Dr. Emily, I was listening to your show in Hawaii that suggested if you're starting a new relationship, you can FaceTime. Well, what suggestions do you have if I'm not a talker? Would I be better off just waiting it out? I'd like to put my best foot forward. Thanks. All right, this is a great question, Maria. I'm going to assume that if you're not a talker, maybe you're more into texting. So if you do stay in that place of just texting, if you're meeting new people right now, it really is not going to allow you to connect more intimately with anybody. And so, like, what if you practiced talking on FaceTime right now with a friend or a family member? You know, maybe you could find the right light, the right location of your home, and a position that works best for FaceTime. And in the same way, I'm not a big texter. I had to learn to text because that's the way the world was, right? And now it's very different. So I think some adjusting might be good for you. And like, ask yourself, what is it about talking that makes me uncomfortable? Like, what kind of talking doesn't work, does work, and doesn't work for you? Like, what is it about talking that makes that is triggering for you? Because if you really want to start to develop intimacy with someone right now, and I would say if you're alone and isolated, that maybe this is something you want to get through by, again, practicing talking, even if it's just talking on the phone. I mean, I'm not saying you have to jump to FaceTime, but I think getting comfortable with intimacy, which is what talking is for many people, could be helpful. So sometimes stepping outside of our comfort zone, challenging our edge, and seeing where talk can be, can work for you can be super useful. Like for me, I realized I don't love texting because it's super distracting and I feel like I'm not a great texter. So I started talking. So what I started doing is I started like texting people, but I would record, at first I just record voice memos. Like you can just do the voice memo thing and text that. I found that super useful. And then I found slowing down. And like the thing I didn't love about texting is that I feel like I'm so busy throughout the day. And then I thought if I designate text time, like this is the time I'm just returning text. I'm just going to communicate with someone I'm dating or flirting with. That made it feel a lot more structured for me and I could get through it. So I would say rather than waiting out, maybe just challenge your why you don't love talking and practice. And I think that would work for you, Maria, a lot. So thanks for your question. All right, this next one is from Lisa, 50, in Ohio. Hi, Dr. Emily. So I was taken off the pill when I turned 50 by my gynecologist. Had I known what a profound impact this would have on my sex drive, I would have done it a long time ago and saved myself so much grief. Now that I've awoke from such a dead slumber, I can't stay off my husband. He's 3 years older than I, and I think he's a little intimidated, definitely frustrated, and having difficulty. We have wonderful communication, which is a plus, but he still struggles. What can you recommend to help me and help him enjoy this long-awaited burning desire I now have for him? And could you recommend a breathing exercise app? Thank you. God, we all need breathing apps right now. So into breathing. I'll get to that. So I love, Lisa, that you have let me know that you have excellent communication. So now is the time to have even greater excellent communication around this new situation. How often can you have sex? How much? What kind of sex? And whenever we're going through a change, it is scary. It can be intimidating. It can induce fear. Maybe he's feeling like, oh God, now I can't meet up. I can't match up to what she wants. You know, you're saying that he's intimidated and he's having difficulty. What kind of difficulty is he having? Is he having some kind of erectile dysfunction? Is he feeling that he can't necessarily perform? And do you know that he's intimidated? So since you guys are really good at communication, I would say, what does it bring up for you, sweetie, that right now I'm wanting more sex? Maybe it makes him feel like he has to be someone totally different, or he's not matching up because he doesn't necessarily want more sex. So there has to be maybe some more reassurance, because this is new, right? If you've been together for a while and all of a sudden we change sexually, that's intimidating to any kind of partner. So maybe getting him out of this state of unknown, and you can kind of experience this change together, because I think you can help him get to the place where this burning desire that you have for him now feels really good, boosts his ego, gets him really excited again, but it's a change. So also, you asked about a breathing app. What I love is I actually think that you could breathe together. And I've found with partners that when I slow down and I breathe, which is sort of a tantric principle, and I connect with them, like whenever I'm stressed or before we have sex, even we just like look at each other and we breathe together. It's a game changer. It really is. Just that process of looking in each other's eyes and breathing gets you extremely present. If you breathe for a few minutes, sometimes your breath sinks up and it's sort of a lot of the anxiety and stress that we're all feeling just kind of melts away. Apps that I love for meditation and breath. I love Insight Timer. It's a free app. They do have all these new programs right now that they're like, if you don't really pay attention, it makes you look like you have to buy everything on there because they have 10-day courses. I don't think you have to. You just kind of have to dig deep and find it. Headspace has been around for a while. People love Headspace. And then there's one called Calm that I also really like. Now, those are meditation apps, but they also have breath components to them. So just search for the right apps. And why I like those is because they're not just breath focused, but again, breath is a huge part of meditation. And those apps are a little bit more established. Oh, another thing is my friend owns a studio called Den Meditation in Los Angeles. And since it's closed right now during this quarantine, she's offering classes on her app and she's got some of the best breathwork teachers on there. So I would check all of those out and see if your partner wants to breathe along with you. And that goes for everybody. Breath is a game changer. All right, we're not on the phone. I wish we were on the phone. I miss all of you. Let's get into an email sent to feedback@sexwithemily.com from Byron, 38, in Indiana. Hey, Dr. Emily, I have a hard time getting hard when I'm with a partner, but I have no problems when I'm solo. I always was more concerned with giving pleasure to the other person, but for some reason, I have problems doing that with my penis. This has led to disappointment by my partners because they don't feel like they're giving me any pleasure. What's a way I can get hard and stay hard for my partner? I just bought the Hot Octopus Essential Solo. I hope that helps. Thanks for the help. I love your show. All right. Well, this really got me thinking, Byron, because I got to tell you, there is, in the last few years, there's been a surge of a lot of younger men that are experiencing erectile dysfunction. Now, it used to be just we'd hear from men who are a little bit older, after 40, 50s, 60s, you know, who are experiencing a natural testosterone drop, which happens as we get older. It happens for women too. And so what they find is initially, erectile dysfunction has two major causes, and that's cardiovascular disease and severe emotional stress. Well, a lot of us are under emotional stress right now, meaning anxiety, stress, worry. And I would say even more so now than ever, even in the last few years. So I kind of want to break this down for you. I'm going to give more tips for everybody since we're getting so many more questions about this. So this is going to help a lot of you who have been experiencing erectile dysfunction or with partners with erectile dysfunction. Also, I want to mention the Hot Octopus is a fabulous toy, essentially, for men. And what it does is it can really help men stay harder longer, work on ejaculatory control, and it feels incredible. It's actually a vibrator. So it oscillates around your frenulum, which is the super sensitive part of your penis. It's the underside. And I'd love to hear how that works for you, Byron, if you're loving the Hot Octopus, because we've heard great things. I know I don't have a penis, but I know from penis owners very close to me that they love it. All right, so let's get into a little erectile function now. Okay, so here's the deal. What I think it is that a lot of, you know, the numbers are growing rapidly from people, you know, who are experiencing younger men, millennials, and teens. In fact, I had a friend's son call me the other day. He's 19, and he talked to me about a partner he was dating, and he said he's, you know, it was his first time he had sex, and he's actually never really been able to stay hard, and he was really concerned, and I know this guy really well, and he's actually been stressed his entire life, really anxious and overachiever. So I kind of have been doing some deep diving, so I'm really glad you sent this question. So the numbers are going rapidly. They really are. So they're depressed, they're stressed, they're ashamed. A lot of young men are ashamed, or all men, because they feel something's wrong with them. And they just think, oh God, I shouldn't have it. And so it seems like a third of young men are now establishing erectile dysfunction. Now the misconceptions, and I'm going to break this down, is that it's all about porn. It's because of porn and it's because of masturbation. Now, I'm going to say that I don't think that porn is necessarily the devil, but I can tell you why there might be components to it, even though, you know, people think that's a grave misconception. I think that as I get into this, you're going to see that there's something about masturbation which might be a part of it, but don't worry, I'm not going to tell anyone to stop masturbation. Because there are many people, and there have been studies on this, that completely stopped porn and that didn't fix their problem of erectile dysfunction. So some things are sex education. You know how abysmal it is in America. We refuse to talk to our children about sex or about pleasure. And all we do is we create a lot of taboo and a lot of shame around it. And like in other states in America, like in Utah, you know, discussing details of sexual intercourse and the use of contraceptives and sex activity outside of marriage is completely banned. And something that I haven't talked to all you about in a while is that in the Netherlands, which is held up as a model by all of my sex educator friends and colleagues, sex education begins with four-year-olds in kindergarten. Now, the Dutch, they don't call it sex education. They call it sex. They call it sexuality education. They call it comprehensive sex ed. And that's just open and honest conversations about love and relationships. And the youngest students, they're not taught about intercourse. They're not learning about intercourse in kindergarten. But by the time they're 11, they're shown that they're far equipped, way better equipped than Americans, to make better choices about when not to engage in sex. And the Dutch believe that sexual development is a normal process that all young people experience, which we do. And they think they have the right, which I believe as well, to frank and trustworthy information on the subject. Consequently, they have way less shame around sex and sexuality, and fewer teen pregnancies. So since our sex ed, this is what I was talking to my friend's son about, it's only abstinence-based. It's sex education. That's what's taught a lot of schools. We say you're going to get pregnant and don't get an STD. You're going to get someone pregnant. You're going to get pregnant and don't get an STD. Well, that's fear-based, and that does not help anybody. There's also sexual imagery. Now, this is when I do think is porn is a problem. If we've been seeing porn at a young age, we know that kids are seeing it as young as 11 years old, they don't understand. They don't have a deeper understanding of the dynamics, the requirements that actually come with having an intimate relationship. So what they believe is that porn is just foreplay, quick penetration, and orgasm. Boom, it's over in 3 minutes. So I do agree. I actually think that in some cases, when that's all we think is that's sex, we're like, of course that's sex. That's all I've seen. That contribute to our ability to not be able to stay hard with a partner because it's not really going down the way we think. And so, you know, sex education, why I also think it's important is because it focuses on, you know, sexual functioning, not just sexual pleasure. And porn's all about pleasure. It's not about functioning. And so there's also movie mainstream media. As we know, I've talked about this a lot, that what we see in movies and it is not how, again, it's the same thing. It's like making out, there's maybe a little foreplay, and then bam, penetration. So that doesn't help. So when we have good, pleasurable sex, we have to understand that there's emotional skills and mental skills and all these things, understanding our own vulnerabilities that are really key to being able to be a great lover. And also men, the other thing is we're on antidepressants, you're on ADHD drugs. There's just a lot of other things that could happen that could be impacting our ability to stay hard, psychological problems, OCD, and then there's also shame and there's fear. Now, so what we got to do about it is that with men, if this is happening to you, those are all the things that could be, right? And same to for Byron, some of this could speak to you, but I'm really like, it could be any of those things. You have to think, aha, that's what it is. And then for many of these men, they're saying that they try to enter their partner, but they go limp right away. Now, for some men, they find that using something like a hot octopus or a fleshlight really helps them successfully penetrate. And that's something that they could use when they're alone or with a partner. It kind of like an erotic, it's like an erotic aid that kind of helps you retrain the mind. Sometimes, and I don't know, Byron, if this is your case, but when couples are trying to have a baby, the man kind of switches his belief around sex and thinks, oh, this is my job. It's no longer just an erotic experience. And so what I suggest here is maybe you take a break from the business of making a baby and you go back to the business of sex. Penis rings can also be helpful for men because it helps restrict blood flow. And I also think a big thing here is don't make a huge deal out of it. I think that what happens is it happens once and then we think, oh God, it's going to keep happening again, which happens with men who are also premature ejaculators. So really overall, having open and honest sexual health conversations between your partners is so important. And the challenge is a lot of guys want to fix this on their own. They don't want to address it with their partner. They don't want to say to their partner, babe, you know what? I'm super nervous right now, or I'm super anxious, or I'm worried about this because I have shame that I can't be the stallion lover with a big hard penis. So we don't talk about it at all. But the truth is, when we can talk about it with our partners And this got me, the last few weeks, I've actually been doing a deeper dive into some things that maybe I haven't shared because I have more time to talk to you all. Let me talk to you about Sensate Focus. And this is an exercise that a lot of sex educators, a lot of sex therapists and sex coaches practice with their patients. And essentially what it is it's an exercise teaching your partner what and how you like to be touched. Now, what this means is it's really an exercise that requires us to be aware of our body. Now, this goes for men and for women. And that means, how do I like to be touched? What's my reaction to touch and other stimuli? So it also should say that not only do I have to learn the way I want to be touched, but I have to learn how my partner wants to be touched. What it means is it's not just a matter of explaining it. It's actually a practice of us like sitting in the room together with our partners and saying, okay, let me show you how I like to be touched. Now, this could also be done during mutual masturbation if you're both kind of lying there side by side. Baron, this could also mean that you are kind of practicing on yourself and showing her like how you specifically like to be touched. Like, I like this kind of pressure around my penis. I like my balls to be touched this way. And so really when she's focusing and she's seeing that, she'll be able to learn more what kind of touch you like. I think that's something important. That's called Sensate Focus. Then she could do the same thing. And I think when you find, what we all find is that when we're really interacting on the same level as our partner, first off, we're out of our head. You're not worrying that, oh my God, am I going to get hard, not get hard? You're actually engaged in activity with your partner around your pleasure. So imagine how amazing that can work, right? The other thing is that I want to talk about, and this is something that's due with masturbation, is that sometimes if we have a unique or really specific masturbation style, like maybe we always do it with the same hand, right? Or maybe we squeeze, you know, light and then hard and light and hard, or we do something very specific. Sometimes what we do during our solo activity can kind of impact the way it feels with a partner during penetration. So what I recommend is maybe playing with some of that, the way you're masturbating. If you notice, yeah, you know what, Emily, I really do this weird tug thing, not weird, but I do this tugging thing at the end, or I grab my balls or do something that I actually can't mimic during intercourse. Well, that would mean that when you're on your own, maybe practice, if you always use your right hand, use your left hand. Switch the way you masturbate, switch the positions. Use the stop-start routine where you like, you know, you just kind of start and then you stop before you ejaculate. So this could kind of help you sort of, again, understand the way you ejaculate, understand the way you get turned on. So those are some tips there for a lot of men experiencing erectile dysfunction, because I've been hearing about it. We got so many emails from you guys, even just in the last few weeks, because I think a lot of us are home right now and we're spending more time having sex or with ourselves. And so I just wanted to cover that for all y'all. So Byron, thanks for your email. Totally appreciate it. Okay, this is from Brent, 40, in Georgia. Hello, Dr. Emily. I saw your post on Instagram, or maybe it was on Twitter. We did it both places. Do you like anal? Well, I want to try it, but my wife is scared too. My wife is scared too. Okay, you want to try it, but your wife is scared too. After discussions, she still doesn't want to. Is there a way that would convince her to try it for me? Thanks in advance. All right, Brett. Well, here's the thing about anal. What I found helps is getting a little bit more information from your partner, from your wife, and asking her, what is it about anal that makes her the most scared? So getting some more information is my first tip to you. Maybe she had a really like unpleasant first time experience. Someone went in the wrong hole. She didn't want it. She was really buzzed. Something happened. She's heard horror stories. Get a little bit more information. Now listen, this is a practice too, because she knows you're hell-bent on anal right now, Brent. So you have to make it be like, you know what? I'm just curious. Do it in this very light tone. You're not, you know, and she's going to think, well, that's just because you want to have it. And say, no, I really just want to know. Tell me. You know, and I also want to say this, a lot of couples are listening to this show together, which I think is really helpful. So you could have her listen to my answer here, because really, I think getting curious about a lot of things our partner says is helpful. So once you find that out, you know, I would just, that's going to help you make a decision. Like if, and then the next step is education. Educating herself and yourself around anal sex, because the truth is many people do have fears around it. But what we find is when anal sex is executed correctly, there's a lot less pain and a lot more pleasure. Meaning you slow down, you use lots of lube, you start small. A lot of people listen to my podcast or they listen to it on Sirius, or you go to sexwithemily.com. We have a lot of great anal tips on our website. And then my next tip is that you want to, if she does say, okay, you know what, let's try it, let's explore. What I always recommend for first time people is that you do it like a process. You build up over time. Maybe you just start with your finger. And maybe you just start moving it around her anus on the externally, around the anal sphincter, which actually has a lot of nerve endings, chock full of nerve endings that actually feel really good. Now, this is great because this establishes trust because she knows, well, he's not going right in. And she gets to breathe. Breath is so important, especially during anal play, because we get tense and we get nervous, we get anxious and we don't breathe. And then it can be really hard to actually, to actually pay attention to what feels good and what doesn't feel good. So just starting, maybe one day or for a few days, it's just that. It's just your finger, clean fingers, trimmed nails, and then using some lube. And the next time, maybe you stick in a pinky finger, if she likes that, and you go really slow. And then you see how that feels. Maybe try that. And then you can build up to a butt plug and then maybe your penis. So I think these are the steps that you got to take to see if she actually might be on board with it. Because for many women, they have pleasure they never dreamed of. They can even have orgasms. And so really, we just got to find out. So thanks for your email, Brent. Appreciate it. All right. This is from Johnny Mac, 30 in California. Hi, Dr. Emily. My girlfriend and I have been together for over 6 months. We consider ourselves twin flames. I've never met anybody like her in my life, and she's still in my heart, but there's this one thing that seems to get in the way of our happiness. She gets off when I have an orgasm, and I told her that I don't have them very often. No one's complained in the past because I can go for hours and still get pleasure from it. I love blowjobs too, and I only orgasm occasionally. I masturbate daily, and she claims that this is the problem. She says that all her other relationships, they orgasm right away. So she takes this as a failure on her part and that I don't enjoy having sex with her. She couldn't be any farther from the truth. It's going to be a deal breaker for our relationship, and I don't want to lose the love of my life over this. What can I/we do to solve this? And is there any information that supports the fact this has nothing to do with her and it's about me? All right, Johnny Mac, thank you for your email. Yes, there's a lot of information to support that. But let me tell you this, is that your girlfriend is reacting how I hear many people act when our partner doesn't have an orgasm or they don't seem aroused, and this goes for everyone. What we do is we blame ourselves. I'm not hot enough. I'm not doing it well enough. I'm not sexy enough. My penis isn't the right size. You know, there's all these things. We always assume, first what we do is, these are two really like negligent assumptions. The first thing is we assume that sex always looks the same way for everybody, that everybody orgasms right away. From her experience, she's thinking, everybody, my partner's orgasm right away. And then she thinks that has to do with me. Now, we're part of the equation. Our partners are certainly attracted to us and we're attracted to them. I mean, if we're in the bedroom with them repeatedly, I pretty much get that your partner's attracted to you. They are naked with you. I think we worry about this so much, but just know that they're fine. Unless you know otherwise. But most times this is just something we do and it's just really unhelpful because we make the assumption that we're not turning them on and that everyone always does the same thing. Not every person orgasms right away. All the men she's been with perhaps have orgasmed quicker, but that doesn't mean that's how every man is. So I think that the educational part is really just around, you know, have her listen to this, let her know that everyone looks different and that it has nothing to do with her. I mean, you could probably reassure her this, but as young women, I don't know how old she is, but you know, I think we make a lot of assumptions based on our past sexual experiences. And so she just hasn't been with a man that lasts longer. So the reason why it's a deal breaker, it sounds like, is because she's in her head worried about all these things. But my other question is, you say that she gets off when you come. Does that mean that she's having an orgasm when you come? Does that mean that she has to see you orgasm to have an orgasm? I mean, you don't say that here. You say get off. And so I'm wondering, is she really having pleasure? Is she really having orgasms? Or is it just a cue to her that that's when sex is done? Maybe she's never had one. So I feel like, you know, that she's comparing you to past guys and that is not useful. It sounds like you might be a delayed ejaculator, Johnny Mac, and that is something that is common for a lot of men, meaning it takes about 30 minutes, 45 minutes or longer for these men for men who are delayed ejaculators to have an orgasm. And that's just how it is. And typically the masturbation, they come a lot quicker. And I don't think this has to do with masturbation, although, you know, you could try it if you haven't tried that before. You might want to try not masturbating before you see her, but really it's just something that men, a lot of men have. And really there's not a lot of, like, there's not like a quick fix to it. And there's not a lot of reasons why they don't really know. But I think in your case, it's really about communicating and making sure that she's having pleasure and she's actually getting off. And that's really going to help you in this situation.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Brian, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.